my name is Giselle and this is my podcast Smells Like New Talent. In this podcast I talk to several upcoming musicians about them, their music and their future visions. If you're looking for new music, this is the place to be. This episode, Kaylee Spivey. I swear I hate you so bad because I love you so bad.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. So could you introduce yourself?
I'm Kaylee Spivey and I sing and I make music.
Cool. So when did you get into music?
In 2015. I was 15 years old and I started playing guitar and writing my own songs on an acoustic guitar. And I just kind of got stuck with it. It's the only thing that I've ever stuck on. For a while.
Yeah. And did you grow up in a musical household or?
I actually didn't. Nobody in my family really played instruments or even really like sang or listened to music around the house a lot even. But I did have a cousin who played guitar and I thought he was the coolest person ever for it. So He inspired me, but I didn't ever get like lessons from him, unfortunately, or anything like that. But he did inspire it in me.
Yeah, cool. So to what artists did you listen growing up?
I listened to a lot of pop punk growing up. I was very like angsty kid. I was very emotional and I listened to really anything that matched my emotions at the time.
Yeah. And what do you love so much about music? Why did you think, well, I want to make music?
Mostly because I didn't know how to communicate my feelings very well. I would always get really nervous or shy when I had to be in a emotional situation. Yeah. And music basically gave me like a quiet space to process things on my own. And writing, it was almost like journaling. I just picked it up and just really like it worked as a great outlet. And I stuck with that. It was just something that made sense to me for the first time, I guess.
Yeah, so song lyrics were kind of your journal.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, at some point you began booking local shows at coffee shops in Myrtle Beach, where you're from. Yes. Could you tell something about that?
Okay, so it's actually kind of an interesting story. When I started booking, I had just started playing my first shows at the same time. So I was a brand new musician, and I honestly wasn't very good. I was pretty bad, and the band didn't sound really good yet. Like, we were really, like, rough sounding. We just weren't ready. But we were playing anyway. We were getting ourselves out there. We were talking to people, showing them our songs. And I got a show booked from a local guy who did booking around here. And we played that show. And then he never booked us again. Oh. And I think it was because we were so bad, if I'm being honest. Like, I think he was just like, I'm not booking them again. They're just not ready. So me being, like, ambitious and like I have to do this anyway, I started booking my own shows because I couldn't get anyone else to book us. So I started booking at the coffee shop, and then we started getting better and better, and we started growing a following locally, and I started to really believe in myself. Like, I guess I finally got validation that I was right, that I was on the right path because of that following and like the local support. But in the beginning we honestly just started booking ourselves because I couldn't find anybody to book me. So I was like, that's fine, I'll book myself.
yeah, why not? So you started a musical project called Small Talks, a band to create play your own songs live. You did loads of tours, played shows. How did you experience that period? How did you experience playing these shows for people and people coming to your shows?
I was really, really surprised the first time we played anywhere besides my hometown. When we were finally on our first tour, I was really surprised how many people took to us. I was really nervous. I've always been a very like shy and nervous kid. But when I perform, I just kind of say, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to be myself, like forget about everything else and just be here for a minute. And whatever they think of it, they think of it. Like I can't control what they think of me or my music. And then every time people ended up enjoying it, it motivated me even further. And that human connection just really, really was exciting. So touring for me was just really about all the people that I would meet and connect with. I have so much more interesting life stories because of touring. Yeah. So touring really made me grow up a lot faster too. I just experienced so much in a short amount of time because of music and because of traveling, bad and good, but all of it ended up making me a better person. So I took the experience as just a chance to grow.
You did all the songwriting, booking, and things yourself, but you did it under the name Smalltalks. Why did you do that and not under your own name?
So I was scared. It all goes back to me being scared. I thought that if I started music, nobody would really be interested in listening to me sing or like care about my story. And I thought that because of, in my hometown, there's a lot of homophobia, or at least there was when I was growing up. And I didn't think that anybody could accept me or believe in me as an artist, and that I would be like shunned or people would turn away from me because I'm gay. And I just didn't think that was really the biggest fear. I was just afraid of people not accepting me. And then I realized, obviously, the first thing you need to do is accept yourself. So I kind of experimented with Smalltalks. Like Smalltalks was my experiment to see if it was something that I could really do. Like, can I even make music? Can I even be the front woman in a band? Can I do this? And so I got to kind of try that in a safe way where I didn't really have to step into myself yet. And then I got to a point where I was so confident about what I was doing with Smalltalks, and I loved it so much that I just said, you know, I need to take ownership of this. I need to be myself. I need to be authentic, and I need to let people know who I am, that I am a gay girl, and I don't like always dress like other girls, and I like to do like weird masculine things. Like I like to be who I am. And once I finally accepted that in myself, it was so much easier to also accept that I wanted to be my own artist. I wanted to make a name for myself and have people know me for like who I really am and not just know me for Smalltalks or like a band image. I wanted people to see that it was really just me pushing through this, like, and I guess acknowledge my sexuality for the first time in a public way.
Yeah. And now you make music as Kaylee Spivey under your real name. How does it feel?
It feels so good. I honestly really am so proud of it. Every time I look at my own name on Spotify and things like that, it just re-excites me. It shocks me every time too. It still surprises me, but in a very, very happy way. It just has me wondering what's next.
Yeah. And the Kaylee Spivey sound is a bit different from the Smalltalk sound. How would you describe your current sound?
I would say it's a little bit, it's like almost like a more lively indie pop. I feel like it has a lot of real instruments in it, like the acoustic guitars. And then you have a lot of like the pop sounds where it's like synths or keyboards and things like that. And I really like that mix of natural sounds with nice pop, polished, modern tones.
Yeah. And which artists inspire that sound?
Ooh, I am very inspired by Role Model right now. Role Model and Arlo Parks. They are incredible.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So you released two songs as Kaylee Spivey this far, As I've Used So Fucked Up, and Not Over You Yet. Yes, mm-hmm. That are they. Yeah. Let's start with the first one. How did the writing process for that song go?
So most of my writing process looks like me with an acoustic guitar, just kind of coming up with words and a concept, a story first, like what I want to say. And then I take it to my producer, Eli. So actually, I'm going to stop for a second because I actually have my cat rolling a ball around. So I'm going to go grab that ball real quick.
Yeah.
Because my is like so jumpy. If I don't like, if I hear a sound, I will go straight to that sound.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Okay, so yeah, so now I forgot what we were talking about.
It was about how the writing process for So Fucked Up went. Yeah,
sorry about that.
No worries.
But yeah, so I start usually with an acoustic and I come up with a storyline, what I want to say to people, and then I take it to my producer and my only other co-writer to this day. His name is Eli Strobeck. He actually works with me. We just work in his room. Like, he doesn't have a studio or anything like that. So all of my songs and all of my albums, even with Small Talks, was just me and him in his bedroom coming up with these ideas. So most of the process, it's very different every time. Sometimes, like, for example, SFU was started just by that phrase, damn it, so fucked up. And then my producer had the idea of, like, making the up the high note and kind of like turning it into this whole song based around that phrase. Yeah. And we just went from there, and you never know what can really inspire songs. And I like that. I like it being different every time. Damn, it's so fucked up. Every song you like is stuck in my head. I hit you up just cause I miss having you here in my bed. And I don't know why we even try to deny it's true. Damn, it's so fucked up.
Also made this beautiful animated video for it. How did the idea for making that kind of video come to mind?
Mostly COVID. So I actually had that. I wanted to do that video, but in real life. So I wanted to actually act that story out and make it much longer.
Yeah.
But we ended up not being able to do that because right around the time that we were going to finally launch Kaylee Spivey, like the solo stuff, we were hit with COVID and lockdown. So to be safe, we just thought, why not make the animated version of this story? So we animated it with, like, and it was two of my very good friends who worked together on that project. And it was actually the animator's first time ever doing a project that big. So they knocked it out of the water for that, like, their first experience. They really blew me away. But I don't think it could have turned out better, to be honest.
Awesome.
I'm happy about that way.
Yeah, so speaking about music videos, you did also one for Not Over You Yet. And we see you at the start of the video just playing your guitar and playing the song on your guitar. Is that also how the writing of that song started? Just you and your guitar?
Not Over You Yet. Actually, yeah, that one did start on the acoustic. And then I already had the lyrics and the idea for that. And then I brought it to my producer and he made, like, we basically made the entire sound design together. But the lyrics came from just that moment of sitting down with my guitar and kind of processing my own feelings after a heartbreak.
Yeah, because what's the message behind the song?
Owning your feelings. I am so bad about running away from how I feel and like trying to make it go away faster. And that song, most people write songs where it's like they're angry at their ex and they're like, you know, I'm so sick of what you did to me, or stuff that's kind of like sad and not really like happy. And I kind of wanted to just make something that was like, you know what, forget all of that. This is how I feel right now. And I'm just going to accept it and bring like a happy, like high energy feeling behind the song. So it's like, I'm not over you yet. It's just kind of like me exclaiming like, yeah, This hurts. Like, I've got my heart broken. I'm really stuck on somebody, but you know what? It is what it is, and I'm just gonna ride it out. I swear I hate you so bad because I love you so bad. I think that I'm not over you yet. I said a thousand times, you know I'll never lie. I just don't know why. I can't get you out of my head. Yeah, and you made a video for it too, an amazing video. How did the idea for that video arise? So that is a very it's kind of personal, but it's good. So what I wanted to do was basically show people what I did when I was going through my heartbreak. I actually was healing from a really, really bad heartbreak that happened 2 years ago. So this is an old thing, but it took me about like a year and like 6 months to really get to a place where I felt like I had healed at all. And I wanted to capture that process and show that it takes time and you fail a lot. It's trial and error. Like, one day you could be writing in the book, a journal, writing out how you feel, and you feel like you've gotten something out. And then you wake up the next morning and you feel so bad, just like you did yesterday. And I kind of wanted to create this world, this visual world, where you're allowed to see both of that instead of just seeing the good or instead of just seeing the sad. You get to see the journey of like up and down, up and down. Like, it's okay today and it's horrible today. And I just wanted to reflect that in a very like honest way. And a lot of that stuff is stuff that I actually did when I was trying to rush away my feelings, and none of them really worked. And at the end of the video, you can kind of see how I get more emotional. I get kind of sad, and then I have my happy moments at the same time. And it's just a reflection of being in that healing process, not being quite there yet, like not being over it, but also not being in the worst of it.
Yeah. And if I'm right, you filmed it yourself with the director on FaceTime.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
What was it like to make a video that way?
It was hard. I'll be honest. It was really, really hard. We had Alex, the director, set up on my phone tripod.
Yeah.
So we just put the phone right in front of the camera so that they could see each shot, so that we could aim the camera the right direction that they were picturing, and all those like tiny details. But it was hard. It ended up stretching a shoot that was supposed to be one day into three. So we were filming for 3 days and we were only supposed to do one. So it wasn't supposed to be such a big project, but it ended up being like, we ended up having to put so much more little details in it that we didn't really like see in the beginning happening.
Yeah. So I saw some comments under your music video of people thanking TikTok because they discovered you on there. Do you think it's an important platform for musicians to get heard these days?
I think it's incredible. I think it's scary, but I think it's incredible. And I mean, it's helped me tremendously, like absolutely changed my life, because before I got on TikTok, I was afraid with COVID, with no tours and stuff, I had no idea how I was going to get people to listen to my music or hear it or even know about it if I can't tour or play shows. So I really took to TikTok as kind of an alternative to share my music with people. I have no problem like walking up to somebody, introducing myself and saying, I would really love it if you listened to this song for me and gave me an honest opinion. But obviously I can't just run around talking to people through COVID. So this is just like my weird little digital way of reaching people. And it's also kind of scary because TikTok gives you an impression that you can post a video and get a million hits and then your career is like perfect. You know, like you're just on a journey and you're never going to have any failures. But a lot of like young people and new musicians who are posting their stuff up there don't see how much hard work goes on behind the scenes to actually keep that steady career.
Yeah. So you've made quite some TikToks about being gay. And I think if you're open about that, that you become a role model quite fast. There's not that much representation. We just need some more queer musicians. How do you look at that?
It's probably the most important thing to me right now. As far as 2020 goes, I think I'm also extra excited about it because I was afraid to be a queer musician.
Yeah.
I was afraid to be gay and talk about it in my music because I thought it would damage my career the way other people saw me. And when I finally got past that within myself and accepted myself, I just wanted to scream at like to everybody. And I still do. I really want to scream to everybody in the world. I'm like, I hope that you can feel this one day. I hope all the people who are in the closet or having issues accepting themselves can come out and live authentically within their sexuality and within their life. So it's probably the most important thing to me that I can be an example for people just by being. Like, that's really cool to me.
Yeah, awesome. So I play a game in this podcast. I ask every artist to answer as much this or that questions as possible in exactly 1 minute. Do you want to try to beat the other artists?
Yeah, I'm scared. Let's do it.
Okay, awesome. You have to beat 22 questions if you want to be first place. I'll take my stopwatch. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1. Original or remix?
Original.
Sad songs or happy songs?
Sad.
Acoustic or electric guitar? A Claro or Girl in Red?
Clara.
Record music or record a music video?
Music video.
90s or 10s?
90s? I didn't hear that one.
Pop or rock?
Pop.
Concert or festival?
Film.
Singer, songwriter or band?
Singer.
Write lyrics or write instrumentals?
Lyrics.
Piano or guitar?
Piano.
Verse or chorus?
Chorus.
Collab with 21 Pilots or the 1975?
1975.
One hit wonder or never get famous?
Never get famous.
Intro or outro?
Intro.
Hits or album tracks?
Album tracks.
Front row or in the crowd?
Front row.
The Rolling Stones or the Beatles?
Beatles.
Dance or sing?
Dance.
70s or 80s?
80s.
Time's up. You've got 20 questions answered, which is third place.
Hey, that's really bad. Good.
Yeah, awesome. So I asked record music or record a music video. You said record a music video. Why is that?
Because at that point, I'm kind of creating the world. So I obviously love making music, but when I do the video, I get to create the visual and the world, and I get to listen to that song over and over again. So when I do the music videos, it feels like I'm basically meeting my song again. Like I'm getting a chance to hear it as a listener and then live inside of it for a minute. And I just think that's a lot more rewarding sometimes of an experience than just the creation process of the song.
Yeah. What would you be doing if you weren't doing music?
I would probably... I've thought about this a couple times. I used to think I would want to be a detective, but I could handle that. So... Yeah. I think I would probably be, because it would really get to me emotionally, just all that stuff. Mm. I don't know how long my brain could handle that, but I would probably work in a greenhouse and just like deal with plants all day.
Cool. Awesome. So I also ask, write lyrics or write instrumentals. I'm not sure what you said again, but do you have a favorite lyrics of your own lyrics? A favorite line?
I have a favorite song lyrically, which is actually still Small Talks. So Small Talks has a song called Anybody. And I really like that song because it's the first song that I wrote really that I was focused on me and what I had to say and how I was feeling, where I used to write mostly like to people as if I was writing a letter to someone. That was the first time I wrote for myself, like what I was feeling, and really like took control of like the writing process, I guess. So Anybody was really a turning point for me.
Ask you also a question about collaborating with an artist. Do you have a dream artist to work with someday?
I would probably right now Arlo Parks. If I could work with anyone, I would work with Arlo Parks.
Yeah, she's amazing. How do you experience the fact that there are people listening to your music, that you know all around the world there are people who press on play on Spotify and listen to your music?
It's when I really think about it and let it sink in, it kind of makes me want to cry but like happy tears, because I mean, I don't know, I've dreamed about it for so long, and just the idea that anyone in other parts of the world knows I exist is just really, really like warming to me. I don't feel like alone. I feel very much connected to people all over the world, and that's just overwhelming, but in a really good way.
Yeah, cool. So is there something that you would like to say to all those people listening to your music?
I would say, if you're listening to my music, firstly, thank you. And then two, I really, 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 really hope that the message is coming through and that you're inspired to be your authentic self, because you have no time to be anything else.
Yeah, awesome. So do you have a goal or something that you want to achieve with your music?
I really want, right now, this is kind of like this is more of the, I've always dreamed about this in like a goal-oriented way, but I really want to tour the world. So that would be a big personal goal. And then if you're thinking message-based goal, I definitely just want to make an impact in the LGBTQ community. I want to be remembered for being somebody who was kind of early to the whole shift, because I feel like the world is shifting in favor of authenticity. And I feel like we're getting more comfortable with queer identities and mainstream. And I just am really excited to be a part of that in such an early state of that.
Yeah. So. And I think you're on the right way for that. It's going well.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just hope to be recognized, I guess, as a part of that.
Yeah. Awesome. So what are you working on right now?
Right now I'm working on finishing an EP. So awesome. We're pretty close to doing a whole little drop soon.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. Where can people find you if they want to listen to your music, if they want to look you up on social media?
I always say Instagram. I'm on basically everything, Instagram, Twitter. My music is on all streaming platforms, so YouTube, Spotify, Deezer, anywhere you listen to music.
Thank you for listening to episode 13 of the Smells Like New Talent podcast. This episode with Kaylee Spivey. If you haven't heard the previous episodes yet, you can find them on your favorite podcast platform or with video on YouTube. Also, if you're listening to this podcast via Apple Music, I would appreciate it a lot if you could leave a review. And if you are an upcoming musician and want to be featured in this podcast, you can send me a message via Instagram at smellslikenewtalent or send an email to smellslikenewtalent@gmail.com.